Herman Kelly is the Director of Communications for the EFDD Group in the European Parliament. Good morning to you, Herman.
Hello, Stephen. How are you keeping?
And also on the line is the Labour Party member, Phil Kelly. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Vinny.
Don't you be calling me Stephen, Phil, but is this not a bit unnecessary for Jeremy Corbyn? He said, no, I'm not going to go in. The PM has said, look, let's all talk. Let's find a way forward together. Why not want to be part of that?
No, it's not. And I think it was misrepresented in many ways, and not least by Mark Davenport. And firstly, I'd say shame on the 10 DUP MPs and shame on Lady Sylvia Herman for breathing life, limited life, back into this zombie government who are reaping misery across the United Kingdom.
Firstly, okay, well, let's spell out what you mean by that. So you wanted that no confidence vote to be supported there. So what did you want to happen as a result of that?
I wanted a general election, and as Mark Davenport...
And you think, given the position we're in now, an election is the right way forward?
Absolutely, because you need that reset button. And Mark Davenport alluded to it. There is no parliamentary majority for no deal. There is no parliamentary majority for May's dead parrot deal. But there probably is grounds for getting Labour's deal across. And Michel Barnier himself has said it would be a game changer, that they would be really, really open to that. And it solves a whole host of issues. Now, I also want to address the issue, because all morning the newspapers have been full of, you know, Corbyn snubs May's outreach. Well, Theresa May hasn't reached out to anyone in over 2 years. And what I would say is this, is Jeremy Corbyn's entirely right. Because the most catastrophic threat is the threat of a no-deal Brexit, which there is absolutely no majority for. And what Jeremy Corbyn is saying is remove that threat, that catastrophic version of Brexit you keep holding over people. Remove it, take it off the table. And here's the truth, Finney. Here's where the government need to be honest with the public. Philip Hammond has already met major business leaders and told them there is no chance of no deal. So Theresa May holding out on that and saying, oh, it must stay on the table, is being disingenuous. And in fact, she's been downright lying to the general public.
I think so, maybe the interpretation is different from different people and depending on their own background. Well, I want to bring in Herman at this point. Herman, your response to what Phil has said there, he's very much for another election.
Stephen, I don't know what planet my co-Kelly is living on. Did you not see the result of the referendum on Brexit? A majority voted for Brexit. And both parties, both Conservatives and Labour, in their last election manifestos, both said they want to leave the customs union and the EU single market. So both of them must be held to fulfil the mandates with which they went to the people. And last night, well, Theresa May got a majority. I think it would be pretty silly at this juncture in time, when you're having talks with the EU, you're trying to organise Brexit, to have a new election, and, well, it's just not going to happen anyway. And basically, Corbyn is an absolute hypocrite. He has campaigned for 20 years against EU membership. He's always been opposed to it on economic grounds and on the militarisation of the EU. It's loss of democracy, just like Tony Benn, a man who I greatly respect. And now here he is, just because he needs to keep his party together as well. And look at the case. It was Labour voters in the north of England who voted for Brexit. It wasn't just squires and the shires that the Tories have. It was mainly a working class vote from the north of England that passed Brexit.
Phil Kelly,
and
their wishes should be fulfilled.
Herman, you may have had what you wanted to say written before you came on air, but you clearly didn't listen to what I said, because the Labour manifesto has been specifically clear that we'll respect the referendum result. I've said to you that there is no parliamentary majority, we've seen that, for Theresa May's deal. There is no parliamentary majority for a crash out, which is the fantasy of the ERG and Jacob Rees-Mogg and co. There may well be a parliamentary majority for the kind of Brexit that Jeremy Corbyn, Keir Starmer, Barry Gardner are pursuing,
their party manifesto clearly stated. Both parties' manifesto clearly stated they were to leave the customs union and
Herman,
the single market.
Phil, let Herman finish, and then we'll bring you back in.
There was a democratic referendum. The people voted no. It is the government's imperative to make sure that that is brought about. And if that means the EU has been so completely intransigent, looking to punish Britain for having a democracy, that, okay, the deal is, and I agree with you in this, that what is presented, Theresa May's deal, is absolutely terrible. It's actually even worse than EU membership, which is saying something. But, okay, but if that is the reality, well, going out, WTO rules is the only way to fulfil the democratic vote that they had in Britain about Brexit.
Well, Herman, you're a fantasist, because there is no parliamentary majority and there will never be a parliamentary majority for a no-deal crash out. The Tory government has already made this clear to leading business figures that there will be no no-deal crash out. Now, you're talking about a manifesto. Well, I'm being clear. This is a zombie government that cannot progress anything through Parliament. It is broken, it is stuck, it is stagnated. The only way forward, the only logical way forward, is to call for a general election. And in that general election, the parties put forward their manifestos, and because Brexit is such a key issue, they will spell out each party clearly their way forward. And I say, don't run scared from the people. The people's vote that we need is a general election.
Well, given just Phil, just on that election that you want, given that the date of Brexit is not that far away, do we have time, or what are the timeframes looking like for you? Because
Theresa May has tried to run down the clock. That's been her strategy. She's held this false threat of no deal against her.
But my point is, if that no confidence vote in the government had gone through, there would have been 2 weeks to form a government that has the majority of support. If not, then there's a general election. You've then got about 25 working days before polling day.
We're racing towards the European parliamentary elections, which is another key date. We can extend Article 50, and I think an election is the kind of game changer that, you know, there's a reasonable argument for extending Article 50 when you call for a general election. And therefore, then the election of a Jeremy Corbyn government can very quickly, I think, progress a much more productive relationship. Michelle Barnier is making all the right noises. And of course, they'd be more open to the kind of Labour Brexit that doesn't contain the self-defeating red lines.
That is not just fantasy. It's incorrect. Barnier has made very clear that there will not be any changes whatsoever to the agreement
that he made with me.
And secondly, have you read the newspapers there about the conversation between Irish Foreign Minister Simon Coveney and Shane Ross there 2 days ago? He basically made clear that because in the event of a no-deal Brexit, that they go out under WTO rules, that the Irish government will be putting up a hard border because that will be demanded by the European Union, because Ireland, very stupidly, is members of the EU Customs Union. And so because of those rules, Ireland, against its wishes, against the wishes of people in the north of Ireland, against the wishes of all the people in Britain, the EU will insist imposes a hard border.
Firstly, Ireland rejected Brexit, and there's a whole new conversation about what Ireland's response to Brexit should be, and that's for another day. But Herman, if you check my Twitter timeline, I will post up a video of Michel Barnier spelling out that there can be renegotiation if there is a game-changing of the what Britain wants, and that's exactly a call to Jeremy Corbyn's soft Brexit, a Brexit that can unite people.
Right, let's go to the phones if we can, please. Michael, first call off the day. Go ahead, Michael in White Abbey.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Michael.
My point is this, and I'm fed up listening to the whole debate, and nobody seems to be able to mind. The people voted to leave the EU, right? Now, I would say Theresa May has went back and forth to Brussels. Makes no difference, because the people in Brussels didn't ask us to leave. The people of the UK as a whole decided to leave. So we're supposed to leave. Now, they can't get it settled. We either go back to the House of Commons and Theresa May say, right, you're either leaving without a deal and all the consequences that may bring, or else we'll stay in the EU the way we are. Pay your $3.5 billion every year, or whatever it is, and that's it. Or pay it, and that's whatever we pay. What do you think?
What do you think, Michael? What do you think about the position that we're in now? The PM calling for MPs to come together with her to talk about this, to try and get this over the line. And Jeremy Corbyn said, look, do you know what? The no deal thing is so important to me. Unless that's ruled out, I am not going into them talks.
I tell you what I think. It's the same as the people on the Hill. They can't agree who's going to lick the stamp. And it's as simple as that. Everybody wants their own way. And Theresa May, over the last 2.5 years, she hasn't budged one way. It's either her way or no way. So I would say, bring it. The House of Commons, they can't decide what they want to do. Put it back to them. People of the UK voted to get out. Take what the consequences is, or else stay in the EU the way we are.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Jim Wilson, good morning, Jim.
Morning, Johnny.
Go ahead, Jim.
Johnny, there's a couple of points. On the hard border, there's only one nation or whatever is going to be going to put the hard border up, and that will be the EU. But I'm absolutely sort of frustrated over the last sort of weeks and months. Listen to people saying about the integrity of the Good Friday Agreement. If anybody knows what the Good Friday Agreement was about, and I was part and parcel of a small part of it, from a perspective of loyalists, right? The Good Friday Agreement was there to ensure that people who wanted to be Irish could be Irish, people who wanted to be British could be British, and that was all to be respected. Now, within this document that was put down, and there wasn't one person mentioned what the Unionist people and the Loyalist people felt about the integrity of the Good Friday Agreement, because the protection that I was supposed to get from the Good Friday Agreement was that my Britishness would not be taken away other than by a vote, right? Now, within that agreement, they were taking away part of my sovereignty, whether they like it or not, and that's what was happening. And people within the Irish government, the EU and others, don't realise that this was the big clause for unionism and the DUP, who, and your programmes have been getting slaughtered by people by not representing our communities and that. Well, they do represent our communities. And when people talk about votes, when people talk about another vote again within in reference to that whole project, if we were to vote again in Northern Ireland for the Good Friday Agreement, I would say 90% of loyalists and unionists would not vote for it, because they see how much it's been abused, but not only by Republicans and Nationalists, but it's been abused by the British government and the Irish government using it as a ploy in Brexit. Not once have I heard on your programme anyone saying that the thing of the Good Friday Agreement applies to unionists and loyalists as much as it does Republicans. When have anyone ever challenged these people? What do you mean by the integrity of the Good Friday Agreement? Because we were the ones getting hurt if that deal had gone through. Unionists and loyalists, we'd have been stuck in a backstop with EU for as long as they wish to do so.
I would agree with you.
And not having people challenging that.
Okay, Jim, thank you. Jim, Herman, you want to respond?
I would agree there in that point that the people in the UK have been abused by the EU. They've been used as a cash cow, as a cash cow for many decades, but it's not just them, because now Ireland South is a massive net contributor to the EU budget. It gave in 1 billion net last year. The EU, Ireland's a very wealthy country. It has oil, it has its fisheries. Its fisheries is under the control of the European Union. The EU now wants to hammer the Irish corporate tax regime. It wants to, Ireland has now signed up to PESCO, which is an antechamber to an EU army. Ireland loses its military neutrality. For me, the only surefire way to prevent a hard border in the Ireland of Ireland and all the economic kind of stupidity that we don't need is for Ireland South to leave the EU as well and be free to make a free trade deal with the UK and with other countries as well.
Yes, Phil Kelly.
I have to counter that. Two things. In response to Jim, no party has hurt working class loyalist communities more than the Democratic Unionist Party. And the folly of Brexit is this, and I've said this on the media all week, that when the book The Rise and Fall of the United Kingdom is written, the last chapter of that book will be titled Brexit. Now, also, Herman, for anyone who's a unionist in Northern Ireland, I'd be very worried.
I'm a nationalist, so...
Okay, but if I can finish my sentence, for anyone that's a unionist in Northern Ireland, I would be very wary of making the argument about contributions to the EU or money or subsidies, because you will know this.
UK is a massive contributor to the EU budget for decades.
Okay, let him finish his point, Herman. Okay.
If I could finish my point, the UK contributes more tax money to propping up the state of Northern Ireland than it ever paid into the European Union, where you can argue there was benefits to those payments. They pay more here. So I'd be very wary of English taxpayers and Scottish taxpayers getting that notion in their head and going, well, what are we paying for? An endless source of instability. And when they look at the 10 DUP MPs propping up a Tory government inflicting misery on the UK, they may start asking serious questions.
Well, look at what the EU has done to Ireland. In 2011, the Troika imposed $64 billion bank debt on the Irish taxpayers.
No argument from me on that.
Okay, I want to play a clip for both of you. A leading member of the German Parliament has said border checks on the island of Ireland would be unavoidable if there is a no-deal Brexit. This guy is called Gunther Kitschbaum, who's a leading member of Angela Merkel's CDU party. He was on Radio Foyle this morning. Have a listen.
It will take time, but border controls would be the consequence.
So that's a yes.
Of a no-deal scenario.
Is it anyway, your understanding, Mr. Kitschbaum, that those no-deal preparations of putting in place custom checks are already underway?
Sure, from the European side, the preparations are running because we have to take into account that another solution can be found. But anyway, we hope that a solution will be found. And if the time can be used, also the next weeks, then we are very open for this idea. But now it's up to Theresa May to present her plans and her intentions.
So just to be clear, Mr. Kitschbaum, if there is a no-deal outcome, there will be border checks on the island of Ireland instructed by the EU.
It cannot be avoided because it's an outside border of the European Union.
And that will be under the instruction of the EU.
That will be the consequence if Great Britain will leave the European Union. That's one of the consequences, not the only one. But this will be a very, very difficult situation. And now it explains...
And just to be clear, sorry, Mr. Kitschbaum, because we're running out of time. Would that be under the instruction of the EU?
Pardon?
That would be under the instruction of the EU, those border checks.
First, the border checks has to be done under the responsibility of the national authorities because you know certainly well that the European Union does not have a competence to control the borders. We are doing it now in the south of the European Union together with Frontex, the agency, but each time it has to be agreed with the national authorities and the national governments. Sure, but as I told you, will be a hard border of the European Union. But this is the consequence if we have not a member state any longer in the European Union.
Well, there you go, Herman Kelly. Border checks would have to be implemented.
Yes.
And many will hear that and think, well, Jeremy Corbyn is just right to say rule out a no deal.
No. If the UK leaves, if the EU gives the UK a free trade deal, there's no border checks, right? Right. And that guy made clear, and it dovetails exactly in the conversation between Ministers Coveney and Ross that was in all of the papers today, the data conversation, and Coveney said that there will be border checks, but just don't say it, because it will be the EU which insists there's a hard border in Ireland. Not the north of Ireland, not the UK. And I don't think the southern government, the Dublin government, doesn't want it either. But the Dublin government will be made to impose a hard border by the European Commission.
So it would be the Republic of Ireland that would implement those border checks?
Yes. Yes. Under the direction of the European Commission. And the reason why is that Ireland will have remained inside the EU's customs union and they must implement what the Commission says.
Phil Kelly?
Well, there's a reason that every single constituency along the border voted remain, and that's because they understand the reality.
We're told so by Sinn Féin.
Can I finish a point, Herman? I didn't interrupt you. There's a reason, and that's because they live day and daily with the reality of a border, and they don't want any return to a hard border. And yes, of course, if the UK, in its fantasy of Brexit, wants to march off and become global Britain, then it must understand that on WTO rules there are obligations that you treat all people accessing your country exactly the same. There are some mitigations. But the reality is, yes, you cannot not have a border if you're marching away from the customs union and the single market, and the EU will protect its integrity. That is what people, the point that people were making during the referendum, and that's why Northern Ireland was exposed as being yet again the forgotten corner, the place that no one talked about in the mainstream politics of Britain, and now we're facing the reality of this Brexit.
Okay.
And
in a way, Philip, I agree with you on that point.
The only way to avoid that is to adopt the backstop or to have the kind of Brexit that Jeremy Corbyn's pushing for. We remain in the customs union and single market, and we remove the stupid threat, the idiotic threat of no deal.
Okay, Phil Kelly, thank you very much. Herman,
let me fill this one. The only surefire way to ensure no border is for Ireland South to leave the EU, be free to make a free trade deal with the UK, other countries around the world, and there'll be no border in Ireland whatsoever.
Okay, Herman, stay there if you can. Phil Kelly, thank you. We'll take your calls in just a moment. Let's go to Jim in Belfast. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
I have just one question. If, for example, there is a general election, which apparently after last night's vote, it's put to one side, but if there had been a call for a general election, would the people in Northern Ireland have any guarantees that the two main parties would take their seats after the election? There's no sense in people in Northern Ireland voting for candidates who aren't going to sit in Stormont. And it's costing the Northern Ireland Exchequer money to run a...
Okay, but of course the general election would be for your MP, so it would be for the likes of the, you know, who's going to sit in Westminster, so it wouldn't necessarily directly impact Stormont.
Well, the same thing applies. So it does.
Okay.
We have to have a guarantee now that somebody's going to go up and sit in Stormont and do the job that they were voted in to do.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. Let's go to Gareth next. Good morning, Gareth.
Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning.
I think where we are at the moment, Vinny, is very similar to 1938 and 1939, except the difference is that Theresa May is not prepared to compromise, and Neville Chamberlain was prepared to compromise, which obviously history tells us would have been the wrong decision. So therefore, in those circumstances, surely the logical way to proceed, especially with the state that Westminster is in, is to have a government of national unity. One of the main reasons for having a government of national unity is to try and redress the imbalance in England, because English MPs at the moment are behaving as if it is only England that exists, even though most of them are supportive of the sustainability of the United Kingdom.
Let me ask you this, Gareth, just going back to our earlier question about Jeremy Corbyn and not going into those talks because of the stance he wants the PM to take on the no deal option. Do you support him in that? Is he doing the right thing?
No, well, I think at the end of the day, everybody's round about the same. You know, Theresa May said she was 70% happy with the EU, and Jeremy Corbyn said that he is 7/10 happy with the EU. So really, everyone is hovering round about the same level of approval. That is why a government of national unity would be good for the country. It would unite the country, and it would also make those people in Scotland and Northern Ireland feel as if their needs are being looked after, because these home counties, English MPs, don't realise, and also the DUP, by the way, they still don't seem to realise that they're cutting off their noses despite their faces.
OK, Gareth, thank you very much.